Welcome to Booked, a programme of instinct, intuition, intellect and interior landscapes. Today I'm in a comfortable jersey. We all are, in fact. Guests at the celebrated Jersey International Arts Festival. And here's a poem called Festival in Jersey. What's going on in my jersey is a festival, especially when I run. And our panellists today, the regulars Miles Kington and Dilly Keane. And competing for the love and affection of the British public, Mark Thomas and John Hegley. So let's climb off the ferry and declare our booty in the first round, fictional ships. Each panellist will find a pack of cards in front of them. Each card has written upon it the name of a fictional ship, boat or vessel. All you have to do is describe what's on the card without using any of the words written on it. You can only pass on one, and you've got a minute, and I'm going to be strict. And Mark and John, off you go.
This is the one that they went to sea in.
Pea green, sea, owl, pussycat.
Get it out!
In a beautiful sea green boat, something.
Mark,
pea green. Yeah, there's this one is it's an operetta, and it's all and all that kind of stuff, and they all run around. And it's, well-known English operetta little people. There you are, you heard it, over there. Yeah.
30 seconds.
Pinafore, Mark.
Yes.
Right, this is a bar. This is a bar with coconut inside.
It's a topic.
No, it's a bar.
Like a bounty.
15
yes,
seconds.
That.
I'm getting excited.
Higher, lower, go for the caravan. I've passed on that one. Ah, this was a TV show. This was a TV show, and they had, apparently, a bit in it where someone goes, "They're playing!" Like that.
Time's up, I'm afraid.
It's the love boat.
Right, Miles and Dilly, you've got a minute.
Ah, this is James Hawkins hidden apple barrel on board this boat. Blind pew and all this stuff.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, okay. Well, you
all right. It a biblical character built it in order to
the ark.
Yes.
This is the boat on which the man who wrote The Origin of Species went down to the Galapagos to.
Oh, Darwin. He went down on.
Yes, but what's the boat called?
I can't remember. This actually had a captain that I mentioned earlier. Ho ho ho, and he had a beard. And he went, and it's after an animal that goes. And it's
SS Armadillo.
Yes.
No.
15 seconds.
The Narnia author. This is the only one.
The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Jolly good.
This is a film by Eisenstein and.
Battleship Potemkin.
Yeah.
Very good. Time's up, I'm afraid.
Oh.
Right, they got 3 points each. Very good. And now, don't give up the day job. In this round, our panellists have to imagine what great authors would write if, bored with their own style, they decided to be bold and brazen and try their hands at a new writing challenge. So, John, who's your brazen hack?
John Betjeman, and he is trying to write some blurb for the Ford Probe, which is, I don't have a car, but I understand it's a car. I've been asked to advertise a vehicle that I despise, a thing that I won't try to sell, but then again, however well I college my resistance, I acknowledge its existence. However hard I drive, I keep the thing alive, 0-30 in 5 seconds, see how quick the coffin beckons. This car's not for me, it's aggressive, you see, and it makes me aggressive as well. Get out of my way, is what it seems to say, like it couldn't care less if you fell. Like the Newbury trees that were brought to their knees in spite of a spirited stand, I'm beginning to feel that the hand on the wheel of the car is too far out of hand. Llandudno, Oban, Cork and Froome, Outer Orkney's Castle Coombe. Anywhere you want to, go without this ugly motor. I don't think I'll ever grow to be a fuel-injected voter. I say no to this new model. With my stick, I'd rather waddle.
Dilly, what have you got?
Well, I've got D.H. Lawrence writing the gardening tips from the Radio Times March issue.
March is the time when life, pure, sparky, fearless, new life, thrusts its way upwards, sprouting, shooting into sap-rising newness. Buds, ripe, green, young and hot, brooding plant bodies burst forth tall and erect in an ecstasy of creation. So this is the time of year to get down in the hunkers and feel the warmth of the earth penetrate the gussets. Feel that compassion from Mother Nature flame in the bowels as there plunges the searching, caressing, helplessly desirous fingers into the rich, gorgeous, friable soil. In the greenhouse, be careful with your tender young succulents and let them harden off gradually. Feed, dig, let the air in, add potassium and bone meal, plant your onions, set, and oh, if you've got any time after that, give your wife a good rogering behind it.
Right, Mark, who's working against a deadline for you?
Ted Hughes is trying his hand at advertising and jingles. And John is Ted, and I am an anonymous advertiser. Ted Hughes, hey, love your work. No, really, I'm a big fan. Seriously, I'm really, really excited about working with you. And look, let's have a look at some of your ideas. Let's have a look at some of them.
Okay, this is the jingle. A single stone stands, bleak, granite. Unfeeling carrion crow crawls. Withered tree spindle fingers scrape the sky. Black, dark night. Rotting, fetid void. Calling, they're tasty, 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 very, very tasty. They are very tasty.
Okay, Ted, no. That was great. That really was absolutely great. But what we're looking for is just something a little bit more upbeat.
Upbeat, right. Okay. Dead dog, empty womb.
Okay. Just hold it. Dead dog, empty womb does not say to me invigorating, beautiful, springtime, sexy breakfast cereal. Okay, let's just think about the cereal now, Ted. Let's just try and find the essence of cerealness. And using your own words, Ted, describe the cereal.
The air is so crisp and clear, it must be supped and gulped like a wine. Life buzzes its early morning insect voice, hair lifts from pillows as the warm sun shines on a hand-crafted bowl full of sugar-coated scabs. Flakes of dead skin scraped from hags' dry feet. Bowls of bunions sliced like buttons made of eczema.
Stop! Just hold that. I don't think we can use that, Ted. But I think we might be able to sell it to Benetton.
Right, and Miles?
I was asked to do Garrison Keillor and how he would write a text for Hello Magazine photo spread. I'm standing in the main room of what Mr. Paul Gascoigne describes as my lovely home. However, that is not how I would describe it. My? Yes. Home? Possibly. Lovely? Well, let me just say that back home in Lake Wobegon, population 10,675, not counting Mrs. Fishbein's husband, who left one day in 1975 to go to work and has not been seen since, although she did receive a postcard in 1981 saying, "Hope you're keeping well and I will be back one day," which came at a bad moment for her, as she had just got engaged to be married for the second time to a man called Sid. Well, back home in Lake Wobegon, Mr. Gascoigne's home would not be called lovely, and it would not be called a home. The most it might be called would be the front window of a soft furnishings store, which had recently been filled with all the items they'd failed to sell during the year, even at Christmas. Mr. Gascoigne himself reminds me of a man I once met in a bar at Lake Wobegon. The name of the bar is Walters. There is a TV set at one end of the bar, and I stood next to this man, who reminds me of Mr. Paul Gascoigne, and I can remember everything about that bar except this man who reminds me of Mr. Paul Gascoigne, and I can remember nothing about him at all. And the same is true of Paul Gascoigne, because I spent several hours in Mr. Gascoigne's company last week, and now I can remember nothing about him at all, except for one thing, which is his hair. And the reason I remember Mr. Gascoigne's hair is that it seems to shine in the dark. It might remind a well-travelled person of the Taj Mahal at moonlight, but would remind someone from Lake Wobegon of the back end of Mrs. McGinty's albino sheepdog killer.
And now... The Black Bag. We went out and bought four shoe bags. We put some objects in these shoe bags. Each panellist puts their hand inside the shoe bag and describes to us what they find. Through cunning, stealth and fingertip dexterity, they piece together the book these objects signify. We call it... The Black Bag. Dilly, enter your shoe bag now.
It's something squished. It's a sandwich. And a book. And something hard and pyramid-shaped. So I've got a sandwich and a book and a pyramid.
What kind of sandwich might it be?
Cucumber.
Ah.
Ooh.
And it's not just a book.
It's not just a book. It's a diary. It's Gwendolyn's diary, isn't it? Oh. The excitement's intense.
From which literary work?
It's The Importance of Being Earnest.
Absolutely. So, what gave it away? Just explain the three objects to us.
The book is Gwendolyn's diary. The cucumber sandwiches are the ones that are not served to Lady Bracknell because Algernon has eaten them all. And the pyramid... is completely random, and I have no idea what
it was meant to be. A prism, you see. Miss Prism. Miles is having a clandestine feeling. It's not even his turn. Well,
I know, but I'm enjoying it.
So, John, it's your turn now.
Right, well, first object's in here, it's one of them. Next one, it's sort of... Ah, one that goes on finger when you're doing sewing. I don't know why I'm talking about this. And t'other one, it's a sort of, sort of meat-up kind of thing. Right? Anybody got any ideas? It's a kind of meat-up thing, a thimble thing, and a bell kind of object.
The hook should be a clue.
The book?
The hook.
The hook.
The hook.
The hook.
Mark! The bell. The bell. Is it Tinkerbell?
It is.
And the thimble is the doodah, and it's the effort Captain Hook, Peter Pan.
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan.
Right, Miles, you can put your hand back in now.
Trying the other hand now. Long wooden... handle with a thing on the end. It feels like an axe. Feels like an axe, actually. It is. I can see Ian nodding. A key. An axe and a key. And a horrible sort of... feels like a feather duster that's been flattened with a hammer. It's like an Indian headdress.
Yes.
Indian headdress.
Indian headdress. Well, the axe is a special kind of axe.
Tomahawk.
Mm-hmm. Think about the third object, though.
The key.
That's the clue. Got the axe and the tomahawk and then the
key.
Headdress. The audience knows.
It's
the Indian in the cupboard.
No, really.
Right. heard of it. It's a book and a film.
No, never heard of it.
Well, there you go. Mark, put your hand in there.
Okay, the first thing, I don't know, it's a quite a weird thing, because it's like a little, it's a metal thing, it feels like a bit of a car engine, because there's a pipe coming out of it, but it's attached to a sort of, like, oval type thing, and it feels like a bit of an engine, that's all I can, oh, hang on, I don't know what this is, oh, it feels like a scout toggle, there's a scout toggle and a bit of an engine, and some twigs. So
it's a woggle, not a toggle.
It's a woggle. Pardon. a toggle.
And it's not part of a car, it's more part of a... not a car. It's part of a... something that you might... that might express water upon your head.
A shower fitting. It feels like a shower fitting. I didn't feel the holes at the bottom, you see. I didn't realise there were holes at the bottom. I thought it was
so shower
like,
fitting.
I thought it was instructions for the car in Braille. That's what I thought.
It's not a work of fiction, it's actually a kind of...
Oh, is it a scout? It's not scouting for boys or something.
It is. Scouting for boys. Well, can you explain the objects now?
I've given away my paramilitary past. the woggle, obviously, it's the woggle, it's scouts, isn't it? And the rubbing the sticks together is what you do. And the shower, that's part of a bizarre initiation ceremony that only you get to visit if you're a scout and a mason. I don't know. I don't know what the shower's for.
That's cleaning thought, word and mind, Mark.
Is it?
Yes.
Cold showers.
Oh.
There you go. And now it's time for Conversation Consequences, a kind of literary blind date. In this round, great characters from different stories meet in unlikely places. What happens? Miles, what's your blind date?
Oh, well, the lady in question is Cassandra, who turns up in Greek plays a lot and was the lady who always knew what was going to happen in the future and told everyone, and no one ever believed her because it was too gloomy. And she meets Scrooge in the buffet at Paddington Station. Cassandra is the tea lady.
Yes, can I help you?
What's the cheapest thing you've got?
A cup of tea.
I'll have a cup of tea, then.
No, no, don't have the tea. Please don't have the tea.
Why not?
Because it will increase your tannin levels even further, pushing you towards an early grave.
Well, I could always have a coffee.
No! No, don't take the coffee.
Why not?
Because it's horrible.
Well, a cup of tea, then, and a newspaper.
Which newspaper?
What's the cheapest you've got?
The Daily Telegraph is free.
Why?
It's last Thursday.
Right, then, one tea, when, Daily Telegraph.
There you are.
I suppose you know which train I'm going to get, too.
Yes, Mr. Scrooge, it's the first cheap train to Bristol, the 11:15.
Very good.
But you mustn't get it.
Why not?
I implore you, don't get on that train. Don't get the 11:15 to Bristol. There's going to be the most dreadful accident.
What, to the train?
No, to you.
To me? What's going to happen to me?
You're going to be run over.
By a train?
No. By the refreshment trolley.
What?
I can see it clearly. You jump up out of your seat, unaware that the trolley is passing, and the steward runs you over. I see you lying on the floor, horror-struck. He leans over and he's offering you a drink. It's a...
Brandy.
Don't do it. Don't drink the brandy.
Why ever not?
Because it will make you sleepy, and you will nod off, and you have to get out of Western Superman.
Is that so very bad?
Have you been to Western Superman?
Mark. Who met for you and where?
Robin, the boy wonder, meets Friar Tuck in an antenatal class. And do you want to do the beginning noise?
Yep.
You know the beginning noise where it starts?
Diddly diddly dee.
No, that's not it.
That's not it.
It's, you know the whirling bit of the paper goes diddly diddly dum boom.
All right. Diddly diddly dum boom.
Holy cow! I've arrived just in time. I've only got 2 minutes before the bomb goes off, killing the entire city.
The class hasn't started yet. You're a little early.
Class?
Antenatal. Why don't you sit down? Take a seat.
A chair! Holy bum pedestals! I've only got 2 minutes to find the chair before the whole city... Why, what can the riddler mean? I have four legs, but I am not a beast. Sit on me and rest your feet. What can it mean?
Is this your first baby?
Yes.
Just relax. It'll be fine. We're just going to do a few breathing exercises, and we're going to learn about childbirth. Like, there's a diagram of a cervix.
Cervix? Cervix? I know that name. Cervix. Vixen. Female fox. Catwoman.
No. It's part of a woman's body. It opens to allow the baby to come out of the woman.
What fiendish mind thought that up?
Look, here's a picture. A small opening that expands.
A concealed entrance. It's like the Batcave. If you don't mind me asking, for a man of the cloth, you seem to know a lot about women's bodies. Why? Holy fornicating friars!
Keep it down. The great thing about being part of English folklore is people always think you're Church of England.
Right, Dilly, who was your blind date?
I've got Little Red Riding Hood and the Cyclops. Hello there.
Who are you?
I'm Little Red Riding Hood.
That's a bloody silly name.
Oh, my goodness. What big eye you've got.
All the better to see you with, my dear.
And, oh, my golly goshness, what big eye you've got.
Yes, there's no need to go on about it. It's difficult enough trying to cope with one eye without people harping on and on. I mean to say, I have heard all the jokes, and they're just not funny anymore. Policemen come up to me and say, aye, 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 what's going on? So they were the first person to crack that joke. If I had a pound for every time people sang, you're the one I love, I'd be a wealthy man.
Well, there's no need to be oversensitive. I mean to say, I was...
Don't say the I word!
I only meant I in the sense of one sense.
I don't mention the word one, either.
Righty-ho. We have got a difficult customer here, haven't we? Not just ocularly challenged, but jocularly challenged into the bargain.
What are you doing here anyway?
Me am your new Meals on Wheels operative. Hence the name Little Red Riding Hood. My real name's Doris, but we're all known as Little Red Riding Hoods now after our new uniform. It's snazzy, isn't it?
That's all right.
Anyhow, here's your dinner.
What is it today?
Two French beans and a chip.
Two French beans and a chip? Is that all? I got a dozen rams and a brindled cow yesterday.
Ah, yes, well, the service has been tendered out by the council and the costing's restructured. Where the hell do you think they got the money for the uniform?
I can't survive on two French beans and a chip.
Sorry, that's your lot. Well, cheery bye. See you tomorrow.
You forgot to mention one thing.
What?
You never said what big jaws I have.
Oh, Jesus, anything to keep you happy. What big jaws you've got.
All the better to eat you with, my dear. Yum, 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 yum.
John.
Shere Khan meets Mrs. Tiggywinkle at a hunt saboteurs meet. Ozo.
Oh, I'm Shere Khan.
Right.
Okay. You're Mrs. Tiggywinkle.
She's a hedgehog, isn't she?
Yeah.
I'll hold my fire out so I look a bit spiky.
What am I supposed to do? Draw stripes?
Hello, hedgehog.
Hello, tiger. What's your name?
Tig to my friends.
That's funny.
Funny?
Well, my name's Mrs. Tiggywinkle, and my friends call me Tig too.
Of course. That is because I am Tig One.
When I say my friends call me Tig Two, I meant T-double-O, not two, as in the digit.
I know. But if we call you Tig Two, there won't be any confusion, if that's okay with you. So, how did you get into hunt saboteuring, anyway?
Oh, I knew a fox once.
Say no more.
And you?
I feel it is just expected of me, king of the jungle and all that.
Just a minute, Tig. Isn't the lion the king of the jungle?
What's a lion? What's a lion but a tiger without stripes? Anyway, what are you planning on doing when the hunt comes this way?
Oh, I've got a placard.
A placard?
Oh, no, it's a wooden pole with a sign on it.
I know what it is. I mean, what are you doing with the placard?
It's a wooden pole with a sign on it.
I said I know what it is.
Oh, sorry, yeah, you did, didn't you? I'm a bit nervous. I've never been on one of these before.
Obviously, my friend. Do you think a placard will stop them?
It will with a tripwire attached.
A tripwire?
No, I'm joking. I'm just saying that I'm aware of the violent option, but I've decided on a peaceable protest.
It doesn't work, though.
What about Gandhi?
Had a few more supporters than we've got.
Not to start with. And what about those four women who disarmed that fighter plane that the British were going to send to Indonesia? Non-violent, but not necessarily non-active.
There were four of them, though.
Oh, what are you planning, then?
I'll tell you, Tig-Too. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear and tug the hunters like their lackey doggies do. I'll terminate them, vermin, and their horrible halloo. And what's on your placard?
He says, why don't you stick to golf?
Finally, let's stop all this nonsense, teams. I'd like to stop the plot of classic works of literature in one line. So, Miles, what have you got?
This is 101 Dalmatians. Rabies!
John?
I'm still making these up.
Mark, have you got one?
Okay, this is The Trial by Kafka. Your case isn't going ahead. At the insistence of your co-defendant, Neil Hamilton, MP. The other one, which I've just sort of jotted down here, is how to stop the New Testament. It's a girl!
John, have you got
one? Yeah, Saturday night, Sunday morning, stop that one. Diary, Wednesday, 3 p.m. And, down and out in London and Paris. Dear Mr. Orwell, your mortgage application came through successfully last Wednesday at 3 o'clock.
Down and out in Paris and London?
Down and out in something around.
I thought you said down and out in London and Paris.
I did. That's the sequel.
Hey!
Well, that'll do us, I think. Very good. Well, it's time to finish now, so here's a poem called Sun Glinting on the Sea Over Jersey. Mirrors reflecting the frightened moon face of a fat man in a propeller-driven plane. So it just remains for me to thank Mark Thomas, John Hegley, Miles Kington and Dilly Keane. Booked was researched by Kate Withers, devised and produced in Bristol by Mark Yobst, and presented by me, Ian McMillan. Goodbye.